Today is Tuesday, July 7th. Good evening for WRCL News, sitting in for Todd Coppernall. I'm Tim Thede. On Friday, Grant County sheriffs made two traffic stops leading to arrests and were also called to an accident. During the morning hours, the sheriff's office was notified of a one-vehicle rollover crash on Highway 1835 just west of County Highway P in Patch Grove. After investigation, it was found that Brandon Austin, 28 of Platteville, was operating his vehicle westbound on Highway 18. There were heavy rains at the time of the crash. Austin's vehicle began to hydroplane and he lost control. The vehicle went sideways into the ditch on the north side of the highway where it struck a rock wall. The vehicle traveled in the ditch for a short distance before striking a protruding part of the rock wall along the ditch, which caused the vehicle to overturn one to two times. The vehicle came to a rest on its roof in the westbound lane of the highway. Austin was able to exit the vehicle on his own. He was wearing his seatbelt and the airbags deployed. Austin was evaluated by EMS at the scene but was uninjured. The vehicle sustained extensive damage and was towed from the scene. Tire thread depth is believed to be the factor in the crash, and the crash remains under investigation. Later in the day, shortly after noon, the Grant County Sheriff's Office conducted a traffic stop on a vehicle on Highway 18 in Fenimore Township for traffic violations. Upon making contact with the driver, Leonardo Lopez, 26 of Boscobel, it was learned that Mr. Lopez, has five prior violations for driving without a license convictions. As a result, Mr. Lopez was arrested for operating without a license, sixth offense, and was transported to the Grant County Jail. Mr. Lopez was also cited for no insurance. This matter will be referred to the Grant County District Attorney's Office. Then during the evening hours, Grant County deputy conducted a traffic stop on a vehicle on Highway 151 at Maple Ridge Road in the township of Platteville for observed traffic violations. Upon contact with the driver of the vehicle, Joshua Shepler, 26 of Platteville, the deputy detected signs of impairment. As a result of further investigation, Shepler was placed under arrest for operating while under the influence. Shepler was also issued a citation for having an expired vehicle registration. A Grant County accident last week resulted in injuries. During the evening of June 30th, the Grant County Sheriff's Office was notified of a motorcycle versus deer crash with injuries on Old Potosi Road near Seymour Ridge Road in the township of Potosi. Along with sheriff's deputies, Potosi Fire and EMS were dispatched to the scene. When the deputies arrived on scene, they learned Henry Melson, 58 of Dickeyville, was operating his motorcycle southbound on Old Potosi Road when a deer entered the roadway and struck the motorcycle in the left front portion, causing the motorcycle to enter the ditch on the right side of the road. As a result, Henry Melson suffered a broken leg and was transported to Findlay Hospital by Potosi EMS. His passenger, Maria Melson, was injured and was also transported to Findlay Hospital by ambulance. The motorcycle received minor damage and had to be towed from the scene. An update as investigation continues into the Geneva Lake tragedy.
A Monday press release from the Geneva Lake Police Department provides details on last Friday's capsizing, which resulted in the deaths of girls aged 10 and 7 and a 6-year-old boy. They were among nine people from Illinois and Wisconsin aboard a 25-foot boat, and initial investigation records show all juveniles on board were wearing life jackets of proper size and fit. The operator was a 47-year-old man with extensive experience. Despite his efforts to get the vessel to safety, large waves caused it to take on water and capsize, sending everyone into the water. First responders rescued six adults and one child. Divers were able to free the missing children, but despite life-saving efforts, all three were later pronounced dead. No further details are available. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Vice President J.D. Vance will return to Wisconsin tomorrow, marking his second visit to the Badger State this year. Vance will speak at the 128th Air Refueling Wing Hangar in Milwaukee, with doors expected to open at 10:30 a.m. The Vice President last visited Wisconsin in February to campaign for Representative Derek Van Orden at a machining facility in Plover. Vance's latest visit comes amid a tight race for Wisconsin governor, as well as the state's first congressional district, which includes much of the southeastern Wisconsin. Further details regarding Vance's visit have not yet been released. The Wisconsin Supreme Court on Tuesday rejected an attempt by a conservative activist to obtain guardianship records in an effort to find ineligible voters in the presidential battleground state. The case has been wending its way through the courts for years and stems from attempts by conservatives to overturn President Joe Biden's victory in Wisconsin over President Donald Trump in 2020. The case tested the line between protecting personal privacy rights and ensuring that ineligible people can't vote. Former travel executive Ron Heuer and a group he leads, the Wisconsin Voter Alliance, brought the lawsuit in 2022, alleging that the number of ineligible voters doesn't match the count on Wisconsin's voter registration list. The lawsuit doesn't specify how many people could be affected in Wisconsin. A guardianship order is granted by a court, giving a person certain legal rights over another who is determined to be unable to make decisions about their life. A court has the power to remove the right to vote from a person under a guardianship order if the person is determined to be unable to understand the objective of the election process. Heuer asked the state Supreme Court to rule that counties must release records filed when a judge determines that someone isn't competent to vote so that those names can be compared to the voter's registration list. Heuer's attorney, Eric Cardle, argued that privacy concerns could be balanced with the public's right to access the government records by redacting, identifying, or sensitive information on the forms. But the attorney for Walworth County said those seeking access to the records wanted to cross-check ineligible voters against the names of those registered. They can't do that, attorney Sam Hall said during oral arguments, without releasing the person's name and address. The Richland Center Kiwanis is holding a pancake supper tomorrow night from 4:30 to 7 at the Richland Center Community Center. Those who attend will enjoy a great meal, and money raised from the event will go to a good cause. Steve Colstead is with the Kiwanis and an organizer of the event.
It's going to be pancakes and applesauce and syrup and cherries and a beverage and sausage, the same stuff that we usually do for a pancake supper. And this is the July one because we're getting ready for our backpack program. And this is kind of the season to kick it off. All the money that we raised from this particular event goes out to help families in our community that are looking for some help with buying the products that really provide education to their kids, a backpack full of materials that will start their school year off in a really, really good way.
The Kiwanis hopes everyone can attend to help a good cause.
And so we're really looking for turnout from the community like we always do, and we ask for a goodwill donation. We don't set a price on this. This is just an opportunity for people to come out, enjoy a hot meal, have some conversation with someone they really, really like, or find somebody else they don't know and enjoy the meal together. And because it's a goodwill offering, you know, you could bring a few people out, throw a few bucks in, and tell them that you're buying their supper. And that'd be a great thing, too.
Help raise money for the Kiwanis Backpack Program by attending the Kiwanis Pancake Supper, which will be held tomorrow night from 4:30 to 7 at the Richland Center Community Center. The reading of a founding document will be held in Muscadet tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock. Ken Theed is president of the Richland County Historical Society, who will be taking part in the event.
We're planning to do a reading
of the Declaration of Independence, which in a historical sense, it was actually July 8th. And you can argue, well, it was obviously read on July 4th and it was sent, but it wasn't received for quite some time. There were three communities in colonial America where on July 8th, the Declaration was read to a crowd at the town square.
The reading will take place in front of the Muscadet Village Hall, located at 206 North Wisconsin Avenue, in conjunction with the reading of the historic document across the nation. The event in Muscadet will recognize the significance of that moment in American history. The event will include special music and presentation of the colors by the Muscadet American Legion Post 85. The agenda includes a few surprises, and light refreshments will be served afterwards at about 5:30. In case of inclement weather, the event will be moved to the meeting room in the Village Hall. Bring your phone or camera for capturing video or photos of the historical reenactment. Attendees should arrive at the Village Hall at 4:45. Seating will be limited. For further information, contact Mark Cupp at 608-739-2179.